We love when you're here. And just a little secret, that's what I think I sound like when I sing. Now I know I don't. But somewhere in there, I think that's what I sound like. Maybe that's what I want to sound like when I sing. So thank you so much. Such a gift. Such a gift. So again, here we are in one of my favorite months of the year, talking about gratitude. It just feels like I want to stay in that bubble bath of gratitude and get all puckery and just stay in it for the whole year. And that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get to a place where it's such a way of being for us that we see through these eyes. That we see even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, when life starts doing that teeter-totter thing that it does, that we can look out through the lens of gratitude and really see what's truly unfolding in front of us. So that's what our aim for this month is the theme for the month is the courage to be grateful, because it does take courage to see through what's false in front of you. It does take courage to stand up and be a place of kindness and a place of thankfulness and a place of gratitude in a world that's telling us, you better get yours because everything else is going to run out. So you better watch it and hoard and hold and hold back and stay small and be limited. That's not the truth of what God wants us to be. And so it takes courage into stepping up into that. And so this month we've talked about how when we start to look through different eyes, we start to begin to see the blessings around us. We've already talked about how gratitude and joy are interrelated, and the pathway to welcoming great joy in your life is through practicing being grateful and finding things to be grateful for, and that just opens the door wide to allow for the experience of joy. And today from our reading, I love when everything lines up so beautifully, that today is about the attitudes of gratitude. What are those underlying beliefs that we hold in order to live a life of thankfulness? And it's that simple. It aligns with the science of mind philosophy. We are good religious scientists who study the science of mind. And what Ernest Holmes, our founder, teaches us is that it's through our beliefs, it's through our thoughts, our beliefs, and the way that we relate to life that we call our life experience to us. It's really that simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. So we're talking about, I like to call it our thought atmosphere, right? The totality of your thought processes. So, you know, just because you have one little negative thought in a day where you're seeing the joy and the light and the love in all things doesn't mean that you're going to manifest just that negative thing. It's the sum total of your thoughts. I call it your thought atmosphere. It's the way that you relate to life. And it can come down to something as simple as what the reading shared with us was that, do you see things as half empty or half full? I know that that's pretty old and boring idea, but nothing does it better, right? Like, you could relate to life like, oh, look what we've got, or you could relate to life like, oh, I wish I had that. And two people could look at the same situation and see the blessing or see the curse of it. But as we train ourselves to start to see the blessings that are even in the moment where we think it's a curse, they expand. They multiply. The blessings multiply. The pathways for abundance, for relationship, for connection opens and deepens and allows us to start to see more and more how we are living a blessed life. It's all about how we relate to life, how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to God. And we can start to look at what those underlying beliefs are that we are holding or not. Let's face it, sometimes we're not holding some of these underlying beliefs about that would lead us to living a life of thankfulness. And when we start to realign our beliefs, which you can do, it takes some work, it takes some focus, and it takes some practice, then you start to see the light more. You start to feel lighter. You start to have moments of awe and appreciation for any small little thing that comes your way. I love the story of Thich Nhat Hanh that was in the reading, but he goes on to share that the Zen master Ling Chi said that the miracle is not to walk on burning charcoal or in thin air or on the water. The miracle is just to walk on earth. You breathe in, you become aware of the fact that you are alive. You are still alive and you are walking on this beautiful planet. that is already performing a miracle. The greatest of all miracles is to be alive. And so the first attitude of gratitude is that life is a miracle. That we, by being here, by being present, awake, alive, and breathing, that's the miracle. It's not anything that happens to us or any amazing thing that happens in life. It's the fact that we get to have life and that we are here. We are here making steps on this beautiful planet, and this is already performing a miracle. So forgetting that life and that we are a miracle happens so easily. And as we are moving into this holiday season, that's a metaphor for the rest of our lives, right? Because what happens when we move into the holiday season? It gets really busy. It gets crazy. Our expectations on ourselves and each other gets really high. It can be a very stressful time, right? And I joke about that throughout the whole holiday season, trying to remind us that it's okay to not try and be Martha Stewart at the holidays, right? It's okay for us not to have to, I can't even think about it right now because it makes me really tired even thinking about, you know, decorating our home and making every present as beautiful, you know, all the stuff that we could do that just stresses you out, right? And so that happens all the time during our year, never mind at the holidays. But the idea is that we can so easily get so busy with the judgments we have on ourselves and the expectations we put on ourselves and get focused on a goal so much, which isn't a bad thing, but when we get so focused on a direction we want to go in our life and we lose the perspective view of the rest of the glory of our life that's happening, when we get so tunnel vision on one little thing that's not happening, it colors the rest of our experience and we lose the idea that we are a miracle. I remember a while ago, there was a comedian who did this bit about the fact that everything is amazing and nobody is happy, okay? That everything's amazing in this life and nobody's happy. And he was talking about how even in my own lifetime, the difference in technology, the unfoldment that has happened over the last 40 years that I've been on the earth, you know, that so much has happened. And he talked about, which I remember, the rotary phone. Just think about making phone calls with the rotary phone. I remember the first concert I wanted to go to when the tickets were released at Ticketmaster. I was doing it on a rotary phone, and that's an 800 number. 1-8-0, with all of these zeros in it, right? And I'm trying to dial really fast so I could get in, so I could get my Prince tickets, but I couldn't because I couldn't get there fast enough. We didn't have a push-button phone yet. I posted something on Facebook a couple weeks ago. Ellen had, on the Ellen show, she had this hilarious thing where she had a millennial, and God bless our millennials. I understand you didn't grow up with this. But there's a video of her trying to invite a girl to fold up a map and make a phone call with a rotary phone. And so this poor girl is making this, you know, doing all the, and it had a lot of zeros in it, and she's doing it really fast, and she forgot to pick up the line first. You know? So everything's amazing and nobody's happy. The idea that the comedian goes on to talk about how even when we go on a plane, right? This is the thing that I am constantly reminded of this. When he's like, we're sitting in a chair in the sky, okay? And so when we complain about having to sit on the tarmac for 20 minutes, but you get to LA in 5 hours from New York, give me a break. Why are we complaining? We are hurtling through space. And why is not everybody just freaking out on the plane? Oh my God, we are flying, we are flying. And every time I get in on a plane, I think that. I'm sitting there usually in the middle seat because I'm the mom in the middle seat. And I'm like so excited and freaking out and nobody gets it. Like, oh my God, we are still, and I have been flying since I was a kid and I am still amazed by it, right? The amazing things, the miraculous stuff that happens all around us, we take for granted. And so when we can start to just put our attention on the fact that this is pretty cool, right? It multiplies. It expands. You are a miracle. And the fact that you are here is a miracle. There's an old Buddhist teaching about how rare and precious a human incarnation is. And I have shared this before, but I can't ever forget this because this is how rare and precious you are. They tell the story of a blind sea turtle that roams the oceans and raises his head once in 100 years, every 100 years. And they talk about this golden yoke, which is basically a hoop that floats on the ocean and is tossed by the waves and the wind, and if that turtle raises his head once every 100 years in the middle of that hoop, that is as rare and precious as this human incarnation is. That is as rare and precious as your life is. So the fact that we can take this breath is amazing. You are a miracle. Life is a miracle. And yes, there's challenges, and yes, there is difficulty, and yes, we go through some stuff. Come on, let's face it. Life is filled with stuff. But if we can start to say, as Thich Nhat Hanh did, what can I count on today? I can count on the breath in my lungs. I can count on the ground upon which I stand. And you know what? For the most of us, there's a whole heck of a lot more that we could count on. Our blessings are multiple. And even if it's just that, it moves us in the direction of expanding the blessings in our life. It moves us in the direction of welcoming and opening to that divine presence that we are. And this leads me to our second attitude of gratitude, which is you are worthy and your soul has purpose. From Max Ehrman's Desiderata, I didn't say that right. Did I say that right? Desiderata, okay. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars, and you have a right to be here. Each of us is incarnated in this life, here and now, on purpose. And so I can't tell you why, and I can't tell you in what way. And it's not about doing one thing and then being done. Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness our purpose isn't just coming up and doing one thing. I call it the philosophy, according to Rev K, is that it's about your beingness. It's about being you, the full, unique expression of who you've come to be without limit. Allowing this path of life to take you on this journey of expressing who you are. We've come to be lights. We have come to be a light in this world at this time. And I'll tell you, you have found your way to this room on this day for this talk. It means that you know that too. I'm not telling you anything that's not alive within you. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before, even in the whispers from the beloved in your moments of meditation or those moments when you're falling asleep or waking up, when God whispers the truth to you. It's trying to tell you to shine. God is trying to tell you that you have come to be fully you, to be that place of kindness, to be that place of love, to be that inspirational expression of itself. We are each that divine hand in this world walking around. We think we're just me. It's just me. I'm just little me. You're not. You're not little you. You are the hand of God in this world at this time. And you have come to speak truth, to shine light, to give love. And there's meaning and purpose to this. And so when we understand and we realize that our lives are meaningful, that we are worthy, we can start to cultivate an appreciation and a sense of gratitude for ourselves. So often we appreciate others, we try to be humble and giving to others without acknowledging the fact that we are a gift too. So often we carry all of that judgment and shame about the mistakes we think we've made and the stupid things we've said. Let me tell you, I put my foot in my mouth so much I know what it tastes like. Right? You know, we have done that so often in our life, but you know what? Who cares? We all do that. We hold these stories and this judgment on ourselves so heavy, and if we could just lay that down, if we could just lay it down and let it be, you can start to cultivate that appreciation and begin to acknowledge who you are. My favorite line from a movie from Willy Wonka, "So shines a good deed in a weary world." You being you is the good deed for a weary world. And everything I try to be a good religious scientist, and I try not to watch the news, and I try not to participate in what's going on in the world so I can hold the space for something greater coming forward. But hello, I can't avoid that these days, you know. But even in that, what I realize is that there are a lot of people in this world right now who believe that it's a weary world. That it's a broken world, that this is a very difficult time, And you know what? I don't buy it. I understand that there's some noise and a din out there that's getting louder and louder, but when we go one-on-one, person to person, there is a deep kindness and respect that still exists, that is alive, and it's up to each and every one of us to shine that truth, to create a space where people are respected and appreciated and welcomed. That's the mission of this ministry. That's the mission of this spiritual community. And it's the mission that I have in my heart for each person. I was telling my foundations class last week that one of my spiritual teachers from up north in California, she teaches that when someone crosses her mind, that they are safe. That they are so safe that even when they cross her mind, they're safe. And that's my intention, is that when someone comes into my conscious awareness, when someone comes into my scope of being, that your spirit feels safe. That's what we are trying to create here. We are creating a safe, welcoming space for everyone to be who they are. Because I believe that everyone deserves to know themselves as God. Because when we know ourselves as God, then we can express that purpose and that gift that we have. But we have to find that within ourselves. We have to find that connection. And I loved this from our book of the month. She talks about that it may help us to realize the value of gratitude towards ourselves if we were to visualize our hearts as a delicate treasure, a hand blown from the rarest ethereal glass, she says. A treasure valuable beyond imagining, fragile, irreplaceable, priceless, and ancient. There is no other like it. Infinitely precious, existing before time and after infinity. In reality, we were entrusted with such an inexplicable treasure when we were given the gift of life. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Take a breath. Let's try a little exercise here. I want you to gently put your hands on your heart and just allow your breath to flow in and out for a moment. And then I want you to ask to be given a symbol for your heart. What's the symbol of your heart, that rare treasure that is your heart? And I want you to hold that symbol that you see or sense as carefully as you would a priceless Fabergé egg. Beholding the wonder of your symbol. This is yours. It's different from everyone else's. And just allow some gratitude to come up and flow through you, permeating the very cells of your being. And then just make a commitment to yourself to cherish and appreciate your heart self, this gift that you are. And when you're ready, you can come on back. Did you get one? You get a symbol? You know what your heart looks like? What the gift that you are is, right? You are a miracle. And you are a gift to the world right now. Brother David Stendhal Rass said, "As I express my gratitude, I become more deeply aware of it. And the greater my awareness, the greater my need to express it. What happens here is a spiraling ascent, a process of growth in ever-expanding circles around a steady center." And so the third attitude of gratitude is that gratitude works in our lives in an ever-increasing spiral. When we put our attention on the miracle of life, when we acknowledge the gift that we are, when we realize that something greater is unfolding here, it expands, it spirals up, and it makes us feel better just navigating the day-to-day things that we do. When we can start our day with that understanding of something, appreciating something in our life. And again, it could be as simple as I get to stand on the brown earth and look at the blue sky. I get to take this breath. Then all of it starts to unfold. But it takes us shifting the way we see things. There's a story of a young couple who moved into a new house, newlyweds, and they're so excited to be in their home, and they get up and have breakfast together, and the husband's making breakfast for the wife, and she's sitting there, and she's looking out the window, and she sees her new neighbors, and there's a woman putting laundry out on the line, and she looks at it, and it doesn't look really clean, and she says, "Honey, I think our neighbor has a problem. I wonder if they have a problem with their washing machine, because that laundry is dirty. How could she put out dirty laundry on the line? Somebody's got to teach her how to do laundry, you know?" And the husband just watches her and doesn't say a word. He knows to not say a word, right? He knows to be quiet. And so over the next period of time, it keeps happening. Every time the neighbor puts out her laundry, the wife is looking at her like, she needs some help. Maybe she needs to change the laundry detergent. I don't know what's going on over there. And then after about a month, she's sitting there and she's looking out. Again, the husband's making breakfast. You know, they do that when they're newlyweds, right? Yeah, they don't know. Yeah. That's not fair. My husband made me breakfast today, and he's not feeling well, so I have to give him props for that. So we'll see if he actually listens to my talk this week, because he'll say, "You talked about me in the talk, and I wasn't there." So thanks, Steve, for making me breakfast. Okay, so she's looking out, and all of a sudden, she says she figured it out. She must have gotten a new washing machine. Look at that. The laundry's all clean. It's so beautiful. And the husband comes up behind her and puts his hands on her shoulders, and he says, "Honey, I got up early and cleaned our windows." Yeah. Yeah, right? It's what we're looking from, not what we're looking at. Are we looking through windows that can see, that can stretch wide enough to hold all of it? Because I can't promise that the bumps aren't going to come in the road, and I can't promise that it's not going to be difficult, and I can't promise that some of those crazy curveballs of life aren't going to happen for you. But I know that if you do your spiritual practice enough to know the totality, the fullness, the power of this life, that you can stretch wide enough to hold it all. That even amidst the pain, even amidst the challenge, even amidst the difficulty, you can find something to be grateful for. You can see the beauty of life. You can see that this is all happening because we are the divine expressing itself, and we are growing up all over each other, but in a magnificent and beautiful way. We are called to see the beauty in ourselves and the beauty in each other and the beauty in life. And that makes the bumps less bumpy. It makes the challenges easier to handle. And it supports us in realizing the miracle that we are. And so my invitation for you as we're moving in this time of moving into that, you know, somewhat, it could be stressful. We don't need to affirm it. I'm not going to affirm that it will be or it is, but we could choose to move into this holiday time grounded, deepened, again, puckered up in the sense of gratitude and awe for this life, in the understanding of who we are. And then we can sit at that Thanksgiving table and allow Uncle Joe to say what he wants to say and let him be who he is and be grateful for it without feeling like we need to run. And we can move into a time where we can move in this culture at this time, in this world at this time, and realize that people could be screaming about whatever they want to scream about out there. And we can be so centered in the understanding that life is a gift and it's a miracle, that we can just bring more of it forth, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people who are sitting next to you, in the lives of the people who are in this room, in the lives of this community and this world, because we've come to be a light, and it's through the attitude of gratitude that we actually get there, and so it is. So let's invite Kenny to come on back.